We've had 9 instructional accidents in a 2-week period last month. 9 instructional accidents. And getting back to Mike's comment, and that is, we got to get back to teaching proper fundamentals and figuring out those 3 things. I find it disheartening that we've had 9 instructional accidents with a variety of different CFIs, from the newest to a very experienced seasoned one, and we've lost the airplane. And these aren't complicated airplanes. Cessna 150s and 152s, last time I looked, were still pretty easy. Yet we're losing control of these airplanes, and I'm not sure that all of these gizmos and electronics is going to curb that to an extent.
Looks like Dick wants to add in there.
Well, we could go on and on, I'm sure. But the idea of, you mentioned before, of pilots having to become used to this. My experience is with a good system, it happens pretty automatically. The other, on your accident investigation, how many of these accidents, how many of the airplanes had AOA systems actively installed?
Okay.
That answers my question. We've had feedback from Garmin indicating that they haven't had a single accident with the system, their EFA system, with a good AOA. So it's obvious where my heart is.
But there's still an argument that even with a Garmin 1000 and all these systems, pilots are flying through it, not respecting it, not adhering to those warnings, and taking the airplane through it. So that's the real, I think, problem here, is the education to respect those warnings that system is trying to give you, rather than fly through it or ignore it or get so distracted and overwhelmed that, you know, you've now tuned it out.
Again, very quickly, I'm certainly not advocating that any system is going to supersede the need for education. I'm firmly behind that. I did flight instructing years ago. I'm not on the same level you guys are, but I understand that.
Same level of this guy. The rest of us, we're just flunkies.
So there's one difference really in Solar Pilot Guard that I think differentiated it. There are some aspects of it in it of the others, but the others were really guarding about what the pilot does, and Solar Pilot had some of the environmental stuff baked into it, like upsets that you can have in ridge soaring and stuff like that. So I guess I'll ask the glider pilots first. Do you think that having environmental upsets being there is useful, and do you think it's portable to other GA airplanes?
If you're flying near the ridge, I think that it's valid. I'm not sure if you're at 800 feet in a traffic pattern how much value there is to environmental upsets.
Dick, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that analogy is not very pertinent. There are various other things that play into accidents that need to be discussed. Circumstances where in the dangerous downwind turn scenario, it's a visual thing. The wind behind you isn't stalling the airplane, it's a visual thing. So your vision gets screwed up. You need a supplemental input, and the audio could be that. Okay, just an example.
I think I'm gonna go back to Mike on this, my last question, which is, I'm trying to play out this thought experiment in my head of if you had the audible tone, which you had, and then if you could imagine that you had a HUD that was focused at infinity, and I'm trying to suspend disbelief because in a pool, I'm sure you're looking out the side, not the front, but if you had something in front of you that was focused at infinity, do you think that's on par with audio, or you just think they're not even close?
No, I think it is. When I look at the HUD, I think what they've done is an amazing job, but I think more for instrument flying and limited visual conditions than it is trying to get me to understand what my AOA is, right? And when I looked at, we were talking about information overload, when I looked at the airball, one of the things I wrote was should maybe work only at certain flight regimes, right? So academically, I'm bumping along in cruise, and okay, my relative wind and my AOA is changing, but do I really care? Because I'm doing 160 knots or whatever it might be. And again, I'm a big proponent of only give the pilot information, whether it's visual or audio, when they need it, right?
Very good. Well, I hope that gives you a glimpse of what we talk about when we go behind the scenes here. That's a little bit new to this one, so we're going to head into the green room, and we're going to turn it over to Terry here for a little bit as we debate the five contestants.
All right. Thank you so much. All I can say is, wow, it's amazing. I think we all learned a tremendous amount from the contestants this evening, and an even more tremendous amount from the judges. I mean, just that 10-minute exchange between the judges really is a lot of insight as to what's going on in the GA fleet in terms of our training, in terms of what's important, how we perceive things, what could be preferred in one area and maybe not preferred in another. An absolutely tremendous discussion, and it's terrific. The judges will go and deliberate, and what we'd like to do now, I'm gonna go forward one, actually I'm gonna go back one slide. No, that's forward, go back this one. All right, what I'd like you all to do, you have the opportunity now to pick your choice for the Founders Innovation Prize. And once again, the number is 863-250-3891. And you have your choice now, and just put down a number. So number one would be Mike Foles' presentation on Solar Pilot Guard. The number two would be Airball by Ihab Awad. Number three, Ed Wischmeyer's Expanded Envelope Exercises. Number four, the head-up display discussion from Epic Optics by Ray Kwong. And lastly, Mike Vaccaro with Fly on Speed. So make your vote, and we'll give you an idea just before the judges come back. You should have some idea of how everyone in the audience has voted. Okay, so let's move forward just a little bit now. I want to talk a little bit about the Collier Trophy. The 2020 Collier Trophy was won by Garmin International, and it was for developing the Garmin Auto Land System. So in the time that the judges are going to take to deliberate and select the winners of the last Founders Innovation Prize, I'm going to bring up the chief test pilot for Garmin, Mr. Tom Carr, who was instrumental in developing the Garmin Auto Land System, which won the 2020 Collier Trophy. So Tom, could you come in? Looks like right now it's on. So the first thing I'd like to do is give you a little bit of a background about Tom. It's amazing the capability that you meet in faces in the crowd. I had no idea what Tom's background was. I know that his team had won the Collier Trophy, and I know that he had been given an award recently from the Society of Experimental Test Pilots, a very high award. And I didn't know his background, so he and I had an opportunity to chat this afternoon, and I'd like to give you a little bit of insight. Tom has a bachelor's of aeronautical engineering from the University of Kansas. He has a master's in aviation and human factors from the Florida Institute of Technology, and it doesn't stop there. He also has a law degree. He's an AMP and an AI, so a tremendous amount of experience from many, many, many different aspects. He holds an ATP with 14 different type ratings. He has 12,500 hours, and about 6,000 of those are as a test pilot. He's done all sorts of certification flight testing, 8 spin test programs, including 3 test programs spinning multi-engine airplanes. His employment history, he worked 26 years at Beech and the last 18 years at Garmin. He's flown 195 different types of airplanes, including 20 experimental amateur-built airplanes. To put you in perspective, you, the EAA Society, in perspective with Tom, the test pilot, Tom owns a BD-5 and a Grumman Tiger. In addition to that, for long cross countries, he has a B-55 Baron. He helped to build another BD-5 and another, and a Long Easy. So he has a lot of experience exactly in the heart of experimental aviation.
built and flown a BD-5.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right, so I want to just talk just a tiny bit before we move on with questions and answers about the Collier Trophy. Now, Tom, some of the previous winners of the Collier Trophy are really pretty amazing. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Mike Collins won it in 1970 for landing Apollo 11 on the moon. Kelly Johnson won it for development of the A-10, which eventually became the SR-71. And then as I was going through, just randomly checking the list of previous Collier Trophy winners, I noticed Bill Lear was there. And I didn't catch my eye that it was Bill Lear because of designing the Learjet. It was because of Bill Lear in 1949 developing an approach coupler for the F-5 autopilot. And that fits right in as a lead into our discussion about the Garmin Autoland system. So let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, what a fantastic achievement it was to win the Collier Trophy. So what was it like for you and the team at Garmin to learn that you had won?
Okay, well, the Collier is the big one, to be sure. And we had a lot of people working a lot of years to bring that technology to general aviation. So we were thrilled to be the 2021 Collier Trophy winner. At the same time, as you said, when you read the previous winners, you're just humbled by the company that you're keeping. So I'd say we're still very excited to be the 2021 Collier winner, but we're also energized to keep trying to bring that kind of technology down to GA.